with you at the time. So in all honesty, who here every day is declaring 2020 best year ever? Thank you for your honesty. Here's the reality in that. You can still declare it's your best year ever. And I'm here to remind us again, we're only not even through the month of January, and already it's easy to forget that you're going to declare that it's the best year ever. Because our problems become bigger than our declarations. You see, maybe this will be another message down the road, but we overthink things, guys. We start thinking about all the little things or big things that happen in our lives, and we allow that to take us away from the true reality of who you are and what you have in the kingdom of God. My goal is to build strong families. But if you continually see yourself or consider yourself weak or broken, how will you build or become the strong family unit that God so dearly wants you to be? You see, we have a responsibility in this. And that means that if you need to preach yourself happy, God, get up and preach yourself happy. And you may say things like, man, that's just faking the funk and I don't really want to do that. But that is on you and nobody else. But God has laid out in his word the things that we can do, the things that we think on mean something to us. So he tells us to think on the things that are good, not the things that are bad, doesn't he? In Philippians 4:8. It's in there for a reason. I quote that scripture all the time because 17 years working acute care psych, I've seen too many people defeated and depressed continually because they're always focused on the things that in front of them instead of the glory of God that's ahead of them. I also talked to you about figuring out why. Why do you come to church? Why do you serve God? Why are you saved? Why Jesus Christ? And I said that if you have a strong reason why you do something, you will continue to step out and do it. But if you have a poor reason why, you will not. It will not last long. And then from there, Pastor Weldon took us in talking about us being face-to-face with one another and how Jesus did things. It was always face-to-face with individuals. People came to him or he went to them. And it was that connection that we had. And so what's going on is we're building this thing through the Spirit because we're not going to google.com and trying to figure out what message to preach, but we're building something here for 2020, the year that's balanced out, the year of double portion, the year of seeing clearly, that you will be able to walk out victorious and not as a victim. Amen? And then he went on to say after that, what was it? arms of mercy. Arms of mercy is what it was. Pretty good, I remembered, right? Listen, so he's talking about how we as believers need to reach out with the same arms of mercy that Jesus Christ used to reach out to us. So here's the picture we're painting. It can be the best year ever. It may not be the best moment you're going through, but this year can still turn out to be the best year ever. Yes, sir. And you will continue to grow and serve God if you understand and have a strong reason why you're doing it. You will continue to be in fellowship and come to church and Bible study if you have a strong reason why you're doing that. Amen. And then understanding that being in fellowship with people, face to face, laying on of hands, praying for people, fellowshipping, touching, communing, breaking bread with people builds strong relationships. And you get better by doing things together. We're better together, cliche statement, but right, we're better together than by ourselves. And then in all of that, if somebody offends you or does something wrong, you still reach out with the same arms of mercy that God gave you. It's the same grace that was given to us, we sow to others. And in this package, in this picture, we start to see things differently. Maybe at that point, we start to have a little bit of a glimpse of what Jesus looks like or looks at us, right? And so today, I want to talk to you about something a little sobering in the beginning, but then get hopefully a little better than that. The title of today's message is You're Not Untouchable. And I'm not using the term untouchable as in like the sports person who is so good at stuff that, you know, they're running down the track or whatever, and they're, you can't touch them, they're untouchable. I'm talking about actual physical touch. You're not untouchable. You see, there's an element in life where people get so down on themselves, they feel grotesque, they feel unloved, that they don't even feel that they're worthy to be touched, much less be in relationship with somebody else. And it's a sad place to be, but I want to lay out some things today, and hopefully it'll help us out. But I'm going to start by reading some real stories of individuals of what takes place. And this is how people think, and maybe you have or currently think in this manner. Nobody wants to even touch me. I'm getting past the point of wanting to hurt myself. I haven't been touched in years. I have so little self-esteem that I haven't even tried to find someone to go out with, mainly because I know that I need to be held so badly that I know I would just come across as creepy or needy. I was just diagnosed with Asperger's disease, and that doesn't help at all. I have a very hard time reading emotions and connecting with people in the first place. Maybe I should just kill myself, because I'll never find someone that could put up with my difficulties. Real people, guys. I'm finding it even harder. Someone else. I'm finding it even harder to just exist. I see pictures of my friends with a significant other all over the place, and I cannot stand knowing that I have nobody even close to that. I get told to not let it get to me so much because those people do have problems. They got problems too, so just don't let it get to you. To which I reply, but at least they are happy most of the time. And some simple things. It gets better, but it never stays better. I am so tired of just taking it one day at a time. I almost feel like I should kill myself. I think I'm a life that wasn't meant to happen. I'm tired of being tired all the time. Do you ever cope by imagining a person or world that makes you feel safe? Another person says, I'm just here. You don't get it. That's what one person writes. Do you sometimes feel like the night shouldn't end? No tomorrow? No new day? Why did I have to be born? I don't know these people. They could be Christian. They could be saved, man. They could be in this kingdom that is so divine. But they're dealing with an issue. They don't know if anybody cares about them. They don't know if anybody loves them. They're depressed. They're lowly in mind. They're fighting a battle. And they feel like they're fighting a battle by themselves, and they have nobody to talk to, so they go on an online forum to reach out to vent how they feel. And instead of getting encouragement from other people, you have a bunch of other people come on that website and start venting how they feel. You see, nobody's venting that you're more than a conqueror. Nobody's telling them that I'm here for you and I'll hold your hands up when you're feeling low. Nobody says if you need to talk anytime, I'm available for you. No, everybody else is still dealing with the same issue. They feel unloved. They feel untouchable. And I just want to say that as we move into this next year, there's a point where we have to get our mindset right. You see, the Bible tells us that we're not, don't be conformed to the world. This is world. Satan would want this to happen to people. God doesn't want this to happen to people. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And until we get this right, guys, until we get this right and lined up with this, things aren't going to change. We have to make sure that we stay continually surrounded by people that have your best interest in mind. It's a day and time where we need to stop being our own worst enemy. We have to cut that stuff out of our life and start declaring who we are in God and start seeing who we are in God. You see, people would say, I'm just broken. And then there's that cliche saying that broken crayons still color. But here's the reality. Yeah, broken crayons still color, but you're still broken. I'm here to tell you that through Christ Jesus, you can be whole. You can be full. You can be above. You can be that abundant life individual. Why? Because God had his son die on the cross for you so you can have that. That's not a lie. That's not a story in a book. That is the, people say, that's God's honest truth. That's the truth. You can't change it. You can't change it. You may feel like you're in a reality that is totally different than that, but the truth of the real you hasn't been awakened yet. You see? It's not that you're just broken. You don't know who you are. And today I want to talk to you about who you are. Who you really, really are. As we step out into this new year, this new decade, amen, this new day. Who are you really? I went on a rant at the end of worship, right? Talking about the preparatory command and the command to execution, and we just call it come, freedom, and using the authority that's been given to us. Until we realize who we are because of God and Jesus Christ, until we realize that, we will always be able to walk in the lowliness of life and allow things to get to us around us. You know, it's good to be surrounded by wise counsel. But I know that when you're totally depressed and down and out, the last thing you want to do is be around anybody. And this is where your battle takes place. This is where your fight takes place. Because we can fight on the sidelines and we can pray for you, but you've got a battle to run yourself. You have some skin that you need to put in the game. Does that make sense? Yes. But you have to know who you are. So I'm hoping today that this will resonate to a place where you see yourself bigger than maybe you've seen yourself in the past. You see, you're a human being, not a human doing. And that's another issue that we have, is because we feel like we can't do something. Who's ever gone out for sports, right? And they weren't good enough to play, so they didn't get picked for the team. And all of a sudden you think, man, I just can't do anything right. Or you try to do a test and you fail the test and all of a sudden, man, I can't do anything right. Or you grew up in a messed up home and your parents told you you can't do anything right. And everything was based on performance. And so everything was about do. You're not a human doing. Everybody say, I'm not a human doing. You're a human being. You're a human being. And there's some very important significance that goes along with understanding that you're a human being. You see, the word to be refers to a state of being. It's a state of being. You are a human. Are you with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're not a dog, a cat, a thing, an it. You're a human. Are you there? You guys see that, right? Does God make junk? He doesn't make junk. I need you to be awake today. I need you to hear what I'm saying. To do refers to action. As human beings, we can do action. But does our salvation, our being made right with God, have anything to do with what we do? No. It only has to do with what He, Jesus Christ, did. It is by our faith, through the grace of God, not by what you did, but by the grace of God that we receive. I know we've heard this over and over again, but this is important that you get this. You see, I can still to this day hear people that say, you know, I hope I've done enough good to get to heaven. These are people who grew up in the church. Grew up in the church. They know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but they still make the statement, I sure hope I've done enough to get to heaven. I sure hope I did enough good. I try to stay in His graces every day. I try to stay in His good graces every day. Maybe some of you are even thinking that. I'm here to tell you it's not the action that you've done or are doing that puts you right with God. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. And we go on. Genesis 1:26, 1:27. You see, some of the very beginning of the Word of God is the greatest part of the Word of God because it starts with who you are. Verse 26, then God said, let us make humans in our image, in our likeness. Underline those two words. Let them rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the domestic animals, and all over the earth, and all the animals that crawl on the earth. In verse 27, so God created humans in His image. In His image of God, He created them. He created them male, and He created them female. Now, something that's really important to point out here is, number one, that you were created by God. Amen? Number two, you were created in His likeness. Number three, you were created in His image. But also, fourth thing, is He gave Adam and Eve dominion over all the things on earth. Did you see that? Okay? Now, with the fall, because of the sin that crept in, right? Mankind, human beings, lost that dominion. Are you with me? They lost that rulership. But along comes Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ dies for our sin and restores mankind, human beings, back into the kingdom of God that gives us now the same rulership and authority from Genesis 1:26 has now been given back to us. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? The birds of the air, all the grass in the fields, everything on earth is under your rulership. It's under your rulership. Bible tells us, be a good steward, be a good manager of what you have. Why? Because you have authority over it. You have authority in your workplace. You have authority where you walk. You have authority in your home. You have authority over yourself. I'm not making this up, guys. It's the Word of God. We don't have to beg and plead. I know that sometimes we feel like we need to beg and plead for things, but we don't have to beg and plead because you're a child of God. The word image is a representation of the external form of. We were created in the image. We are the external form, what we see, of God Himself. You know, you heard that saying where we've said, you might be the only Jesus that someone ever sees. That's true. Because you are the image of God. When you're looking at yourself now in the mirror, it's important to realize that not only are you the image of God, but you're the likeness of God. The likeness is the quality of being alike, a resemblance. A resemblance. You're the ambassador of Christ, is what the Word of God says. Huh. So this ain't a heavy, but everywhere you go, you are the likeness of God, outward appearance, the image, the reflection of God Himself. You're the ambassador of God. You lead what it is to be like in the kingdom of God. You have authority over all created things on earth. When you submit to God and resist the devil, my Bible says the devil flees. This is major stuff. This is big stuff. We continually, because our minds aren't right, sell ourselves short on who we are in God. We look at the things around us And we're afraid of Satan and his attacks, not realizing that the battle's been won.
Amen.
You're not untouchable. You see, when people saw God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, were they drawn to him? You know, Jesus is God in the flesh, right? I need you to stay with me here. Jesus is God in the flesh, filled with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the image and likeness of God.
That's right.
Jesus is the image and likeness of God. Did you hear me? Jesus is the image and likeness of God, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he walked in power.
Amen.
Jesus dies on the cross, goes and is seated at the right hand of the Father, releases the Holy Spirit on all those who come to him and believe. We are created in the image and likeness of God, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You may be the only Jesus someone sees.
Exactly.
So you're created by God, you look like God, and you have the power of God living in you. Wait. You're created by God, you look like God, and you have the power of God living in you. So if I am walking this earth, and all of a sudden I become under attack by powers and principalities of darkness, Satan, demons, hordes, whatever, or just some guy that don't like me, who has authority? Exactly. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, so let me ask you this. As a believer, looking like God, with the power of God, created by God, in the same exact replication of Jesus Christ, because he had the same exact thing as us, what is there for us to fear? Do you think Jesus walked around and was afraid of poverty?
No.
Do you think Jesus walked around and was afraid that he wasn't going to find his next meal?
No.
Did Jesus, in all of this, activate and use the gifts that were given to him?
Yes, sir.
So do you think that maybe if we, who are created in the image and likeness of God, filled with the power of God, just like Jesus, do you think we have the ability and the authority to not be afraid and walk out in the same manner and apply what the instruction says to do? But we're not saved by doing it because we're human beings. If you realize the power and potential that you have in you because of God, you will love him more and more than you ever could have imagined.
Amen.
You see, we'll look at these things that'll come at us, and it so easily entangles us. It ensnares us. Man, my car broke down. I'm having such a bad day. I hope your car not working doesn't make your whole day bad. But we speak these things like it's ruining everything. It's time for us to probably stop doing that. Preaching to myself. Preaching to myself. I'm not standing here perfect. But I think this is a powerful revelation to understand who you are. How can you have the audacity to declare 2020 the best year ever? Because you're a king and a priest on this earth.
Amen.
Because you have authority to declare that. Because you have the right to declare that. And you have the ability to declare that. Jesus came for the untouchables, the ones that people didn't want to touch. He came for the tax collector. He came for the adulterous woman. He came for the prostitute. He came for the leper. He came for the woman with the issue of the blood. He came to set the Samaritan woman free. Come, freedom. He came for the sinful woman who washed and kissed Jesus' feet. Now, with that being said, just as you are not untouchable, Jesus is not untouchable. You see, Jesus has his hand reached out, and he is right there ready to grab your hand and pull you up. He's ready to take hold. He wants you to grab hold of him. It was laid out two different occasions where women laid at his feet, anointed his feet with perfume and wiped his feet with their hair, or cried tears and kissed his feet and wiped with hair. John laid on Jesus' lap. Jesus wants this connection with you because you're the same. This ain't blasphemy. You're the same as him. You are created in the image and likeness of God, just like Jesus. You're not Jesus. Don't go out saying Pastor Mike's blaspheming. But just as Jesus is declared the Son of God, you are also declared the children of God. See, isn't there a likeness there? Isn't there a similarity there? Jesus came to give us our inheritance. You see, we're not the prodigal children squandering it away. We don't realize the gift that's been given to us. And I'm telling you, it's time to unpack the gift. It's time to open the package. Christmas Day has come today. Amen. January 26, 2020 at 11:22 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. The Christmas package is here. It's time for us to open it up. You're not untouchable. The Bible said, call for the elders of the church to lay hands and pray. You're not untouchable. Paul was used mightily to go to the Gentile nations and preach the gospel so that they would understand what they have. The same Jesus that walked the earth and raised people from the dead is the same God and that lives in you through the Holy Spirit that gives you the same power and ability to do that. Amen. Do you know why more people aren't being raised from the dead? Because we're afraid. Because we don't want to go and lay hands on somebody who's died. We get caught up in the moment of, oh my gosh, they're dead. Instead of going, "Ooh, I can work through this. Because God's power lives in me." God wants every one of us to be the vessels used to make a change in this world that he created. He created it because he loves it. He created you because he loves you and he gave you authority. When we see the bigness of that, things will change in our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Does it sound far-fetched? Does it sound make-believe? Does it sound too good to be true? In the world, it does. In the world, there's no way you can be saved just by grace. You got to do something. There's no way you can have power of God living in you. There's no way. And how dare you compare yourself to God? The comparison is God loves us so much, he gave us everything that we need for life and godliness. Why would the Bible say he gave us everything that we need for life and godliness if he didn't give us the tools to be godly?
Yep.
Right? Let's pray today. Can we pray today? Are we filming today? Nathan? Are we filming? You can go ahead and shut the film off. I'm going to call for Pastor Weldon, PK. I'm going to call for Chaplain Chuck. I'm going to call for Pastor Len. come on up. Get PK out of children ministry. Por favor, sir. We're going to pray. I'm going to show you that you're not untouchable. Pastor Randy, Pastor Lisa, where's Pastor Lisa at?
Taking care of David.
Well, we'll allow that. Nathan's going to find some nice music to play. And we're going to lay hands, man. We're going to make some things change. Not by our power, but by the power of God that lives in each and every one of us. But I think that we need to know that we're loved and that we're cared for and that we're a small part of the bigger picture, but we're bigger than what we think. Does that make sense? So I'm going to have everybody line up facing each other here, wise, face each other. And I'm going to have you, if you want to leave, you can leave. But if you want to come through, man, we'll just lay hands on you, pray for you, and go on out. You can do that. But the power of God is alive and well in us. I came here this morning with a neck. I couldn't put my head down to my chest because my neck was stiff, and I can do anything with my neck now. I know my wife isn't feeling well. I'm telling you what, come on through, get blessed, and then I challenge you, when you leave here, do this with your children on a regular basis. Lay hands and watch people recover and get better. And we're just inviting the Lord right now. So Father, we just declare in Jesus' name, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your majesty and who you are in our lives, Father. We thank you for what you're orchestrating right now. Father, I pray that every individual in here would get out of their comfort zone, that they would step out in the fullness of who they are, and they would step up to be loved on and prayed for in Jesus' glorious name. Nathan, you can turn this bank of lights off if you want to grab the anointing oil behind you. Come on through. Let's get greasy. Come on up. Let's pray. In Jesus' name.